which is basically a three-year cycle of being able to read through most of the Bible. It leaves out some portions of Scripture here and there, but for the most part, it includes the vast majority of Scripture. We tend to avoid some of the statistical passages of all the begats and the numbers and things like that in the lectionary, but I'm in favor of reading it all, but it can only fit so much in. And so this tries to balance Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and then reading from the Gospel. And so I rarely go off lectionary, and this is another example of a week when we're going to be continuing with the lectionary of what was there pre-planned for us to look at for Scriptures. And it's Transfiguration Sunday, which is an interesting Sunday. The Old Testament lesson is looking at Moses, right, and also Jesus, and how their countenance changed when they spent time in the presence of the holiness of God. They beheld God, and their countenance was changed. And the premise for today, the main thought for us to think about is if we behold God, if we spend time with Him, we will not be the same ever again. Because when we spend time in the presence of a holy God, it changes us. And we are transformed. And then people will see that transformation and see the difference and be drawn to Christ, hopefully, through us. So Moses, right, he's up on the mountain, he's spending time with God, and when he comes down, his face is radiant because he's been in the presence of God. And he ends up covering his face with a veil because of the radiance of God's glory. Some people were frightened. You know, if you look back at the history of it, perhaps it was the contrast of the holy radiance on Moses' face against the sin of the people that worshiped the calf while he was up on the mountain. They might have seen that contrast, I don't know. But the glory of God was shielded partly by the veil so that the people could not see it. And in this New Testament passage from 2 Corinthians, and if you want to turn there, you're more than welcome to. We're going to be going through that and kind of taking it apart. It's on page 189 in the New Testament part of your pew Bible, if you want to turn there. But Paul talks about what happened to Moses, and talks about Moses' veil. And he uses it very much as an allegory for the hearts of the people that had a veil over their heart from being able to see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. That prevents them from understanding the gospel and being transformed and transfigured by the Holy Spirit. Paul says, since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside, but their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. You know, the Old Testament was a time where the people were restricted and were separated from God because of the law, which was impossible to keep. We live now in a time under Christ where we can come boldly before God because of Christ. Paul says we act with boldness because Christ has lifted the veil from our hearts. How do we come to God unveiled? Scripture tells us we must turn to the Lord. We can't try to understand Scripture or live Christian life without turning to the Lord and trusting Him with all of ourselves, our spirit, our soul, our body. To try and understand the things of the Spirit with just our natural mind would be pretty frustrating at best, and worse, could lead us astray. Often what makes sense to the world is not what makes sense to God. Just like last week, we talked about turning the other cheek. I mean, who does that? If someone hits you in the face, are you really going to turn the other cheek? Or is your instinct to go,
put him up?
What makes sense to the world is not necessarily God's plan or His best. So we have to have the veil removed from our hearts to discern the truth of Holy Scripture and to draw near to God. And you know, it's a beautiful thing to love and to walk with God and to allow ourselves to be transformed by Him. Paul goes on in the Scripture then and invites us to this special intimacy with God. He says, and all of us, with unveiled faces, nothing between us and God, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. I don't know if you heard that, that sunk in, but I don't know about you, but I really want that in my life, to be transformed into the same image of God. I want to reflect and bear His glory. I don't want any veil over my heart that prevents me from being able to walk as fully with the Lord as He wants me to. In this passage, it's talking about a relationship with God and His transforming power. That same power and presence that was with Moses on the mountain and with Jesus at the Transfiguration is the same power that causes the metamorphosis in our hearts. In both passages, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, when it talks about the transformation, the transfiguration, it's the word for metamorphosis. It's changing form from one thing into another. Kind of like when Paul talks about the new man and the old man. You know, the old has passed away and new things are come. I put off the old man with the old ways and the old deeds, and I now turn to Christ and try to seek to live into that. Paul says in the Scripture, when we behold God. You know, when we think of the word behold, have you used that word in another sentence this week? Behold! The gas prices have gone up. I mean, that's not a word we use all the time, right? When we behold God, how do we behold God? What does that mean? It's more than a casual look once a week on Sunday morning. When we behold God, we are sitting with Him in His presence. We're spending time with Him. We're worshiping Him. We're reading His Word. We let go of that sin that we've been holding on to and anything that separates us from Him. And when that veil is completely removed from our hearts and we can walk with God in such closeness, we are transfigured and we go on continuously being transformed. When you become a follower of Christ, it changes the way you think. It changes the way you act, what you say, what you value. As we behold the glory of God, we are transformed and changed from the inside out. And when we spend time with God, we begin to be more like Him and understand Him more and reflect His glory, as did Moses and Jesus. We become like that mirror That instead of when we look at it, we see ourselves, hopefully we begin to see, or others see, God's glory in the image of Christ. But we can't stop there. That'd be a good place to stop, probably, especially since we have communion later. But we have to read the therefore. When Paul says therefore in Holy Scripture, it's really important to pay attention because he's about to pull it all together and say, now because I said all this, here's what I'm saying. So the therefore is important. He says, therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in God's sight. Paul is saying, it is by God's mercy that I am even able to stand here and be engaged in this ministry. Remember, Paul used to persecute the Christians. He had the Damascus Road conversion. It totally changed his outlook. He went 180 degrees in the other direction. He went from persecuting to being one of the biggest, most vocal supporters and preachers of Jesus Christ. And he said, it's not because we're proud and because we're so awesome that we have this ministry, but because of God's mercy. It's almost that Paul is coming to it from a humble place and saying, from a very humble standpoint, it's not because of me. It's because of what God has done in me that I have this ministry. I do not lose heart. No matter what happens, no matter what gets thrown at me, no matter what goes on in the Corinthian church, whatever the case may be, we're going to stand for the simple, open truth. He says, by open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. He's saying, by God's mercy, hopefully my words line up with my actions and I'm able to present the truth of the gospel by the way that I live and by what I say in such ways that when people look in from the outside, they'll see, hopefully, that there's some integrity there and that the gospel is true. It's really an encouragement to us. As we walk with the Lord, less and less we will look like, be like, and think like the world. God's vision for the world is very different from where we've ended up. And it's okay for the church to look different as well. It's natural that if we're being transformed by the power of Christ and made into the image of God, that we should look a little different. You know, reading and understanding Scripture, we've talked about it the last few weeks, it might seem challenging at times. And there are times when I scratch my head and go, well, we didn't cover that in seminary. But as deep and complex as the things of God are, the message of the gospel is beautiful and simple. Paul is saying, because we have been and are being changed and called to reflect God's glory in the world, no matter what comes, we will not waver or weaken. We will not avoid the word of God that might make us uncomfortable or challenge our beliefs. But we will reflect the glory of the transformation of God as found only in Jesus Christ and as the simple gospel truth to the world around us. And Paul makes it clear that we don't need to try to drive the gospel with a force as one pounds a nail. He's speaking from a place of humility and acknowledgement of God's mercy and that he doesn't have it all together. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts, who lifts the veil, who changes the hearts of people. And Paul says here, we have received this unto ourselves by God's mercy, yet confidently we will speak the truth. We're called together as a church at this moment in history. It's not necessarily an easy time for a number of reasons. It's a time similar to the early church when the world and the culture were hostile to the gospel. We're only here for a fleeting moment of time, You know, if you think about it, those of you that are a little bit older probably look back and say, wow, the years are speeding up. I don't know if you can identify with that, but, you know, I think about my son Noah and where he was 2 years ago, and in two more years he's going to be driving. Look out. We're only here for a little while, and our lives are fleeting. They're a vapor, Scripture tells us, in the face of eternity. And while we are here, we are the generation who is charged with holding forth the gospel. It is in our hands. What a tremendous and sobering responsibility and trust God has placed upon us. We are called to be people of faith in a beautiful and simple relationship with God that transforms our hearts and draws us into His very presence. We are called to reflect and hold forth this gospel, this simple truth. Our call is to behold God. As we come towards Lent, I invite you to take time this Lent to change your pattern of living, to upset your daily schedule and make time to behold God, to read His Word, to pray, to open up your heart to the leading and the voice of the Holy Spirit, that we might reflect Him to the world, that we might be able to share His light and His power, His mercy and His peace to a world that really desperately needs it. So we, like Paul in the church at Corinth, are called to lift up a simple, open statement of the truth of our faith and to live this out, a simple and powerful gospel without wavering, and watch as God moves in power and transforms our lives and the lives of those around us. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank You for gathering us. We thank You for Your Word to us in Holy Scripture. Lord, I pray that if anything I've said is of You, it would be applied to our hearts, and anything that is not of You, we would forget forever. Lord, I ask that You would continue to speak to our hearts. And Lord, if we have veils over our hearts today, Lord, I pray that You, by Your Holy Spirit, would speak to us. Lift those veils. Help us to see with Your eyes who Jesus is, why He came, what He calls us into with You. Lord, help us to have courage and present the gospel with boldness, yet remembering the mercy that we have received through Christ. And that anything we are in You is not because of us, but because of You. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen.